Everybody, you're listening to Osho Radio. Tonight we have a discourse for you that goes very, very deep. It is about aloneness and the moments you encounter this aloneness. So gather your courage and at the same time relax and enjoy the beautiful music from the world of Osho. Thank you. The discourse that we're going to play after the next piece of music is from the series The Secret of Secrets, Volume 1, Number 2. Somebody is asking Osho a question about aloneness. Osho is talking about the fear that can come up when we are confronted with our aloneness. He explains about the mechanisms that are working inside of us and how we can continue on the path of becoming more conscious.
Shri Guru Namaha. the second question. In the past few weeks, just when I am feeling overwhelmed with the mystery and miracle of life and this world, I suddenly feel everything outside me descending closer and closer until it goes inside my eyes. I then find myself looking at what seems like a one-dimensional screen sitting just at my eyes. It seems as though there is nothing but me, and I am so alone. But then people are on the scene interacting with me, and I become confused. And what about you? You also seem just part of the painting. Even though this lasts only a few seconds, I become so terrified when this happens. Is this my mind playing with me? How could I really be so alone? One is alone. Aloneness is ultimate. But aloneness is not loneliness. You are not lonely. And that is where the whole misunderstanding lies. And that's what makes you so terrified. To be lonely means you are missing the others. To be lonely is a negative state. To be lonely means you are feeling empty. You are searching for the others. You believe in the other. You depend on the other, and the other is not there. And because the other is not there, there is great nothingness. But that nothingness is a kind of negative nothingness. And you are groping for the others. And you cannot find the other. And everything starts disappearing. And when everything starts disappearing, the real problem is you cannot remain yourself. When everything else has disappeared, you will have to disappear too. Because you depend on others. You are just a reflection of the others. You have seen your face in the eyes of others. They have been mirrors. Now there are no more any mirrors. Who you are? All has disappeared. Then how you can remain in this loneliness? You also start evaporating. And that creates great fear. The fear of death. The ego starts dying. And the ego starts searching somewhere, somebody to cling to. And that's why soon you start interacting with people. Out of the fear of death, you start getting occupied with others again. And then great confusion is bound to be there. Because your natural being was moving into a deep nothingness. But you became frightened. And you pulled yourself out of it. You created a contradiction in the energy. The energy was going in and you jumped out. Hence the confusion. But aloneness is ultimate. And when I say aloneness is ultimate, I mean that there is only one. There are not many. You are not separate from existence. Nobody is separate from anybody else. Existence is utterly one. the very idea of separation is our misery. The very idea that I am an island creates hell. Nobody is an island. We belong to the continent. We are part of this oceanic existence. Past, present, future. In all directions, in all dimensions, it is all one. In fact, the word alone means all oneness. That is aloneness. All one is alone. But for that, you will have to go a little more into this nothingness. First, the nothingness is negative. Negative is its outermost core, the cell part. If you go a little deeper, you will find the positive negativeness. The positive negativeness is what Buddha calls nirvana, enlightenment, sunya. When you move deeper and you have crossed the cell part, the hard negative part, the dark part, suddenly there is light. The night is over. And then you feel a totally new kind of aloneness you have never felt before. And then you know the distinction between loneliness and aloneness. In loneliness you were searching for the other. In aloneness, the other has disappeared, and so has disappeared the ego. Now there is nobody inside and nobody outside, and all is one. This unity, this absolute oneness, brings benediction. Then there is no fear. There cannot be. Because now there can be no death. How there can be fear? The death has already happened. That which could die has died. Now you are in the world of immortality. You have found the elixir. This is the nectar, Amrit. Once you have tasted of it, all death has disappeared, all time has disappeared. All distinctions have disappeared. Now you will see the tree as your extension. The cloud as your extension. Are you as the extension of the tree? Now, the center is everywhere and nowhere. The I exists nowhere anymore. The very word has become utterly false. You are coming to a very, very important, significant insight. If you don't get frightened and run out of this experience, you may attain the flash of insight that makes one see it, that all is one. But fear always comes. It is not new. Each seeker has to go through it. And it is really so much that before you have thought about it, you have already run out of it. It is so frightening that it does not give you time, space to ponder over it, what to do. It is like the house is on fire, you don't think anymore. That should I get out or not? There are no more alternatives left. You simply run out of the house without thinking. There is no time to think. Later on you can think, when you are outside the house, sitting under a tree, you can think and ponder with luxury. But when the house is on fire, how can you think? Action is needed immediately, and thought is never immediate. That's the problem. When you go into your aloneness, first it is very lonely. Because you have lived with the idea of the other. It was a dream idea. The other is not there. I and thou both are false. Martin Buber says that the ultimate quality of prayer is a dialogue between I and thou. That's where Judaism got stuck. The ultimate prayer is not a dialogue at all. The ultimate prayer is a monologue. Because the other is not there. A Zen master used to call his own name in the morning, every morning. He will shout his own name and say, "How are you?" And he will answer, "I am perfectly well, sir." You will think he is mad. But this is prayer. There is no I, there is no thou. You have to play the part of both. It is a game. It is a play. Prayer is a play. Playing with your own self. There is no other. But Judaism got stuck there with the idea of I and thou. That's why they were so much against Jesus. Because he declared, although not in such a drastic way as Zen master declares, it was not possible to be more drastic than he was in his situations. But still he said, "I and my Father are one." But that was enough to infuriate people. People were mad. What he is saying? Declaring himself God? He is not saying anything. He is not declaring himself God. He is simply saying there is no God and no devotee. There is only one. You can call it devotee in a certain situation. You can call him God in another situation. That's why he says, "I and my Father are one. If you look at my body, I am the Son. If you look at my soul, I am the Father. If you look at my form, I am a man, son of man. If you look at my essence, I am son of God." That's why he goes on repeating again and again. Sometimes he says, "I am son of man," and sometimes he says, "I am son of God." Looks contradictory. It is not. You say, in the past few weeks, just when I am feeling overwhelmed with the mystery and miracle of life and this world, I suddenly feel everything outside me descending closer and closer until it goes inside my eyes. All that you see is a projection of your eyes. The world as it is you have not seen yet. What you have seen is just a projection. So when you start moving in words, everything that you have projected on the world will go closer and closer and closer to the eyes and will disappear into your eyes. This world is a projection of your eyes. You don't see that which is. You project a dream upon it. For example, there is a great diamond, Kohinoor. Now it is just a stone as any other stone. But we have projected so much value on it. Many people have died because of Kohinoor. Whosoever possessed it was killed. Now see the whole nonsense of it. Just that stone has proved very murderous because of the projections of people. It is one of the most precious things in the world. The costliest thing in the world. But if man disappears from the earth, will it be anything more than any other people? It will be just lying down with other peoples in the same way. There will be no distinction, no difference. From where comes the difference? Our eyes project. We make it special. We go on pouring our desire, greed unto it. It becomes very precious. And very dangerous too. If you are meditating on Kohinoor, silently seeing it, one moment will come that you will see something from the Kohinoor is coming closer and closer to your eyes, and then it disappears into the eyes. Then you open your eyes. The Kohinoor has disappeared. There is something, but you had not known it before. And the one that you had known before is no more there. A beautiful experience. Tremendously significant. Go into it. Go deeper and deeper into it. Let the whole world disappear. Yes, I will also disappear into that. Because that which I am, you have not seen yet. And that which you see is your projection. Your projection will disappear. And when all your projections have disappeared, then the world comes in its nakedness as it is. And the wonder of it. Then small things are so wonderful. Then ordinary peoples are so wonderful. Because of the Kohinoor, they cannot be wonderful. You have projected all on the Kohinoor. You have not left any love for anything else. Once the projection disappears and you open your eyes, empty eyes, not projecting anything at all, just seeing whatsoever it is, with no idea what it is, with no names, no labels, no interpretations, just seeing empty, passive, the world comes to a totally different meaning, significance. I suddenly feel everything outside me descending closer and closer until it goes into my eyes. I then find myself looking at what seems like a one-dimensional screen sitting just at my eyes, perfectly good and perfectly right. This is the way how one moves deeper into meditation. It seems as though there is nothing but me and I am so alone. The only problem is that you are still there. That's why you feel so alone. You mean lonely. The I remains alone, thou has disappeared. And without the thou, the I is lonely. The I exists only in relationship. The I is not an entity but a relationship. It cannot exist without the thou. It needs the thou. How can the lover exist without the beloved? Once the beloved is not there, the lover starts disappearing. You need the beloved. Love is a relationship. So is the I a relationship. And because you are still protecting the I somehow, you have not yet been courageous enough to let it go too. Just as the whole world has disappeared, let this I also disappear. It will be frightening in the beginning. It will be a death process. It is a death process. It will look like you are committing suicide. It will look, who knows where you are going, whether you will be coming back again or not. It will look as if madness is exploding in you. And great fear will arise, and in that fear you will be thrown out again and again. It will happen many times. Slowly, slowly, you will have to learn not to be so afraid. There is nothing to fear. You are very close to the treasures. These are the moments a master is needed to help you, to give you courage, to hold your hands, to say all is perfectly right, go in. I had to pass through the same. And I was also as much afraid as you are. And many times I had come out just as you are coming out. And you are more fortunate than me because I had no master. Nobody to give me courage. Nobody to hold my hand. I was simply struggling with myself. There was nobody who could tell me what is going to happen ahead. I had to grope and go into it. And it was dangerous. It was maddening. And the people who were around me in those days had already started believing that I have gone mad. Everybody who loved me was worried. My friends were worried, my teachers, my professors in the university were worried, my parents were worried, everybody was worried. But I had to go. Many times I went out. The fear is so much. I am perfectly acquainted with the fear. But one day, one has to face it and go through it. Because again and again you fall upon it. And you rush out, and the out is no more meaningful anymore. The out is all empty. And inside you come and the fears. You have to choose between the two. The outside is no more relevant. You can go on doing empty gestures. But how long you can deceive? You know the screen is empty and all your projections are dead. And inside you go and the fear and great storm of fear arises. But there is no other way. One has to go through it to know exactly what happens after this death. The sooner you gather courage, the better. And I say again, you are more fortunate because I am standing ahead of you in that utter emptiness, calling you forth, come on. Come ye all. Come again and again. And I go on calling forth. Just as Christ called Lazarus from the grave, Lazarus, come out of it. In fact, that parable is not a historical fact. It is a parable. It is a parable from moving from the outside to the inside. The outside becomes a grave when it loses meaning. The outside becomes just a futileness, a wasteland, a grave. Nothing grows in it anymore. Nothing flowers in it anymore. No possibility of any song and dance. And you live only in empty motions, empty gestures. But the Master is standing where you are afraid to go, and he calls from there. I am not only standing outside you. You will meet me in that innermost nothingness. Not as me, of course. Not as a person, but as a presence. Not separate from you, but one with you. That's why my insistence is so much for sannyas. Unless you are a sannyasin, it will be difficult for me to call you from the inside. I can call you from the outside, but then you remain just a student. I can teach you few things. That will become knowledge. But I cannot call you from your inside, from your very heart. And the need is there. That is possible only if you become a disciple, if you are a sannyasin, if you are ready to go with me. If you are ready to trust me, at least in some moments, I will use those some moments, and sooner or later they will become your very state of being. So go on. Let this me, this I also disappear. And once this I disappears, there is no loneliness. There is aloneness. And aloneness is beautiful. Aloneness is freedom. It is a very positive feeling of well-being. A positive feeling of great joy. It is a very great festive moment. It is celebration. It seems as though there is nothing but me and I am so alone. Yes, if I remains, you will remain lonely. But then people are on the scene interacting with me and I become confused. And what about you? You also seem just part of the painting. Allow me on the outside to become part of the painting. Then only I can start working from the inside. Let me disappear from the outside, so that you can see me inside. And that will be my truth. And that is the truth of Christ, and that is the truth of the Buddha and the Krishna. That is the truth of all the masters, of all those who have become awakened. Even though this lasts only a few seconds, I become so terrified when this happens. It's natural. But gather courage. I'm with you. Go in. Is this my mind playing with me? No, not at all. Mind creates the fears, not this experience. Mind is playing when it creates the fear. It is not mind when you see all your projections coming closer and closer. and disappearing into your eyes. It is not mind when everything becomes a white, empty screen. It is not mind, it is meditation. It is movement towards no mind. Mind creates the fear. When it comes very close to the no mind, it becomes so afraid of death that it creates fear. And in that fear, you rush out again. Next time it happens, go in spite of the fear. Just be like the elephant who goes on moving, although the dogs go on barking. Let the dogs of the mind bark. You go on moving like an elephant. You don't care at all about the mind, what it is saying.
Meditation today is called You Are Alone. It is a meditation that can work for us when we create those precious moments for ourselves to be alone. You are alone, absolutely alone. This has to be understood very clearly. The moment a person becomes conscious, he becomes alone. The greater the consciousness, the greater the awareness that you are alone. So, do not escape from this fact through society, friends, associations, crowds. Do not escape from it. It is a great phenomena. The whole process of evolution has been working towards this. Consciousness has come to the point now where you know that you are alone.
Tumi bajre mana, tumi japre mana. Om Shri Ram Jaya Ram जप रे मना तुम्ही भज रे मना तुम्ही जप रे मना ओम श्री राम जय राम जप रे मना तुम्ही भज रे मना तुम्ही जप रे मना ओम श्री राम जय राम जप रे मना तुम्ही भज रे मना तुम्ही जप रे मना ओम श्री राम जय राम जप रे
This was Osho Radio for today. I hope you enjoyed the program, listening to the discourse and to the music. The music in the first part of the program was by Bindu, Jeremiah Dunster and Joshua. After the discourse, you heard vocal music from the world of Osho, and we're going to finish with a beautiful number from Manish Bijas called Tumi Bhaja Re Mana. Bye-bye, everybody. Until the next time. Take care and Namaste.
Jai Mana.
Japan.